He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Good morning to our listeners for this week's show of Car Keys. There's stuff going on in the automotive industry. The automotive show, the car show in New York, I believe, opens next week.
No, it opens.
Actually, maybe it's already going. And Jay or I will have some kind of report on it in a later show. I'm not particularly excited, whether it's appropriate or not to be this way, about this year's car show, because I haven't seen a lot of hype about a lot of new fossil-fueled vehicles. That's the regular gasoline or diesel-propelled cars and trucks that have been the benchmark of the auto industry for decades, as there's still a lot of talk about electrification going on for the future. And the automakers, although they have stepped back a little bit from some of their programs which were going to accelerate their themselves into the electric world sooner rather than later, now maybe later rather than sooner. We've already mentioned this on a previous show in part, but it looks like the auto show in New York is really still going to have a large emphasis on the electric vehicle world. They will have their test tracks available for consumers to ride around in and see what the adventure of riding electric cars is all about.
In all fairness, the last time we were there, yes, there was a very large, if not a whole floor, dedicated to building an indoor electric track, which was pretty cool in some ways. And I know that, you know, old geezers like yourself are starting to already miss the ICE power plant, but it's not totally gone, and there will be events there at the show that promote other forms of automotive adventure. And as you know, Jeep always has a pretty cool ride on the outside of the building that you can see when you go.
Is that going to be there? That's the question I was going to bring up on to this week's show, but you will find out, or I will find out.
Yes, but I'm looking at the schedule right now, and I also see that Ford is having Ford Bronco off rodeo adventure rides. I don't know the details of that, but and that goes to the point of the Ford Bronco trying to take on the Jeep Wrangler in the off-roading market, which, you know, is a big thing. I personally don't quite get it because I don't see a lot of off-roading opportunities in our neck of the woods. There is that.
Well, if you or I get there, I would like to maybe take that Bronco adventure run, because it can't be too different than the Jeep Wrangler outside one. And I think that maybe Ford's might be inside, because I'm not sure there's enough space outside the center for two of those.
Actually, let me correct you right away. I think it looks like Ford must have gotten that contract, because it's the same, pretty much the same, you know, obstacles on the outside track. But it seems that Ford has replaced Jeep in that amusement ride.
So Ford, not Jeep this year.
But you know what? I'm not riding on that. I'm already not.
Well, the problem with those is that there's usually a long line, and I don't have the patience to sit in a long line of 50 people or so waiting for my turn to go on either the Wrangler or the Bronco adventure. But enough on that. There are some interesting new designs coming in some of the vehicle lines. Jay, you mentioned the Sonata Santa Fe, I think it was, as being a very attractive-looking new version of that particular line of vehicles from Hyundai. And I am looking at an Infiniti 2025 planned QX80, which looks very much squarish in its design. And it's going to take on the large, it's going to come in and take on the large luxury SUV stalwarts, such as the Cadillac Escalade and the Lincoln Navigator, I guess, in 2025.
No,
I am all in favor of this new square look. Range Rover has kept the square look in some of their models very effectively. Square is good in my... As longtime listeners of this show have probably heard me rant about the curvature of the bodies of SUVs being not very useful in terms of holding square boxes of materials. And I've said more than once that I don't know how you make a round box to fit these curved rear sections of these SUVs and so-called wagon style versions of cars. So I'm all in favor of the square look coming back. Curvatures in body styles, especially in the sedans, were certainly have been evident for the last decade or more, mostly to hype alleged mileage, MPG, that's miles per gallon, increased abilities of cars when gasoline was high and when the EPA or the federal gas mileage standards were in place.
We know that the coefficient of drag of a vehicle obviously affects its mileage directly and in a big way. But aerodynamics these days don't have to have a round shape to create an aerodynamic vehicle. I mean, it does help, but some of the non-round shapes are very aerodynamic. But I think, and this is just a personal opinion, we know that, you know, sedans have been disappearing for a long time, and there are fewer and fewer of those on the roads, especially in areas where we have, you know, bad winters and weather conditions where we want vehicles that are all-wheel drive and high off the ground to be able to go through all the obstacles. But I think that as we move on, the sedans are going to try to differentiate themselves more from the SUV shape. But yet, the two vehicles are going to be one and the same in the foreseeable future. I mean, initially SUVs were truck-based designs, and now they drive like cars, they ride like cars, and modern technology has it that basically are the same technology as cars. And they just offer more space. So it makes sense that that's what the market is gravitating towards. There's a very nice-looking Mercedes E-Class coming out now for 2024, 2025. And I just noticed that the number of sales of Mercedes E-Class, which is kind of an icon throughout the world in the midsize luxury car market, I think last year Mercedes sold less than 20,000 here in the U.S. versus 200,000 20 years ago. So, you know, we know sedans are dying, but a few will remain.
Let's go to car sales briefly. I'm looking at a couple of detailed pages in one of my automotive periodicals, and the Nissan Rogues 2023 models and the Lincoln 2023 models apparently have or had or still have relatively high inventories of those years' vehicles in the Rogue and the, I guess it's the Navigator and lower, and the next model lower in the Lincoln line. It is a very good opportunity for some people to get probably pretty good deals on these particular two models of cars. If one doesn't feel that they need to go out and buy the newest version of these vehicles, which have undergone in both cases some considerable architecture upgrades. Dealers don't like having leftover models, and manufacturers don't like having leftover models hanging around too long in their dealers' lots because they cost dealers money in floor planning costs and the models, as they get older by the month, probably lose a little bit of saleable value as well. So anybody who's looking for a Rogue and doesn't want the 2024, which is considerably upgraded over the 2023, although I have not yet to see one, and or 2024 Lincoln models should look at the 2023 vehicles on those two manufacturers' lots. And there are probably other model 2023 leftovers as well. So long gone are the days of short supply and hard-to-find vehicles, as Jay has mentioned in the past. And everything has gotten back to pretty much normal in the automotive world as far as how cars are marketed to be sold. Rebates, cashbacks, 0% financing, discounts off of older models have crept back into the promotions of car makers.
Pretty much, and large inventories on dealer lots. So yes, back to normal. Speaking of used cars, we had discussed this earlier, Robin, about, you know, where do you buy them? What kind of warranties do you get? What kind of assurances do you have when you do buy a used car, whether from a dealer of that particular brand? And I know you wanted to elaborate on that.
Yes, I would. To our listeners who go out and shop cars at independents or watch car ads, and ads are in newspapers and on TVs, but my example to my partner Jay was, what happens if you happen to see an Audi model in a Jeep dealership or a Chrysler Jeep Stellantis dealership for sale, and you see a similar model Audi used one, this is a used vehicle, at your friendly Audi dealer? Where do you want to buy that vehicle in terms of maintenance comfort and or warranty comfort? The answer in this particular example stands to me to be the Audi dealership, because Audi, the manufacturers offer pre-owned cars with certified warranties on them, whereas the independent dealers do not. If you buy a vehicle not of a manufacturer's, off of an independent used car dealership, the standard before you think about putting on an extended warranty, and Jay can go into that when I get through with this, is that states usually have minimum standards of warranty requirements for used car sales so that you don't get caught buying a used car and the day after the transmission fails. However, the independent car warranties, dealer's warranties, are very limited in terms of time and, in many cases, well, both time and mileage. And the standard that I usually see is something like 90 days or 3,000 miles before you have to worry about paying for a mechanical or electrical or whatever breakdown in that used car. Whereas if you buy from a pre-owned, with a certified pre-owned car from a manufacturer's dealerships, you can often find that those come with multiple year and very reasonably higher mileage terms.
Yeah, we've discussed this. Certified pre-owned warranties are usually better than the new car warranties.
That is correct. That's a funny thing about it. They are definitely better than the new car warranty, too, which are usually 3 years or 36,000 miles. And the pre-owned warranties can go like 5 or 6 years and 100,000 miles.
Correct.
From the date the car went into service, not the date that you buy the vehicle used from the dealership.
Correct.
Although I have seen cases where some manufacturers' dealerships, Jeep in one case, offered their warranty to start from the day I bought a pre-owned Jeep Cherokee recently, and the 5 years started from the day that I bought that car, and it was a two-year-old model. And so you have to be careful and watch what the real warranties programs are in the term of years and sometimes mileage that you're going to really get.
So I want to go on a tangent here about buying used cars, and we've talked about the you know, you either buy a car from somebody you know who's selling a car. That's obviously a good way to go, and I've gone that down that route for some of my vehicles. You know, local shop, go online and go on Car Gurus or Auto Trader or one of those major sites that actually all use the same databases. The same vehicles will appear on Car Gurus, Auto Trader, Kelley Blue Book, and all those sites are pretty efficient and do a good job of presenting vehicles. And their search features are relatively easy to use. Some seem to work better at some times than others, and I go from one to the other. But there are a couple auction sites as well, as we know, and Robin knows that I'm very addicted to a website called Bring a Trailer. For those of you who do not know the site, don't go look at it. If you like cars, do not go to bringatrailer.com because you will get addicted. And I pretty much start every day in the morning by looking at what's coming up for sale on a particular day. Robin, have you caught on to that, or you're still?
I have not looked at it in depth. I scanned it once, and obviously there's a very wide variety of offerings that show up on bringatrailer.com. Back to the warranty, Jay, what do you get in a purchase off of bringatrailer.com in terms of any kind of warranty on the car you might buy off them?
I am not sure. There's certain the site is designed in a way that, first of all, for a car to be sold on Bring a Trailer, you have to submit your offering to Bring a Trailer, and they make a determination of whether they will put it on the site or not. And I'll get to the your question in a second. The way it works is you know, you submit the offering, they approve it, or not. And it goes on a seven or eight day. It's a 1 week auction timeline. The way it works is you can have a reserve or no reserve, like a lot of other auction sites or auctions. Period. And the interesting part is that you have there's a social media aspect to the site where a lot of people will comment whether they're bidding on the car or not, and you just get a lot of knowledgeable people discussing any particular car because, again, they are classic cars. That is the guideline, if you will. But you have, you know, older cars, newer cars, sports cars, luxury cars, very inexpensive cars, and very expensive cars. So it really covers a wide range of vehicle types. I think the warranty is pretty much whatever the dealer, if it is a dealer sale, is offering. I don't think there is a you know, there's no backed by a Bring a Trailer warranty. They will make assurances prior to the vehicle going for sale or on online, but there's no warranties as such from Bring a Trailer. As far as I know, and I'm pretty sure of that.
Okay. The only other area where warranties are probably not valid in any sense is when you buy a car from a friend.
Well,
and you are buying a car totally on speculative thought about whether it's going to need a lot of work or not.
When you buy a car from a friend or somebody you know, you usually know somewhat the history of the car. So in my case, I can think of. I've done that twice, I think, in the recent past years. It was pretty straightforward. You know, I mean, I kind of knew what I was buying. It was a pretty good deal, and if something happened, well, you know, things do happen. I mean, there's no guarantees in life, right?
Okay, where do you want to go next, Jay? Lime Rock?
Lime Rock is open for business again. You know, it's a kind of I was there this Saturday, and it was not only a club day with a few cars on track, but there was also the presence of the Just Hands Foundation. And I'm sure many of you have seen the race car, sports car, with big Just Hands graphics on it at one of our local auto repair shops. That car was not at Lime Rock, but the new car that this person and this organization has was. And what it is it's a foundation that tries to promote or is promoting the use of hand controls for paraplegics and adapting them to not only everyday cars, but sports cars and track cars. And the car that was on track this weekend, driven by the founder of the Just Hands Foundation, Torsten Gross, was a Porsche Cayman, I don't know if it's a GTS or GT4, and he was giving thrill rides to people who were there at the track. And it's pretty impressive to watch, and it's pretty impressive to see what you can do with a car just with hand controls. And they also had a fundraising event in the evening in a party tent and showcasing a movie that they had produced. I was not there for the event, but I hear a lot of good things about it. Anyway, that's the track is back in session. There will be a bunch of Sunday car shows with FCP Euro. I think the first one is in mid-April. I think it's April 14th. And I think the entry fee is minimal. It's like $5 or $10 to get in, if I recall correctly. It may even be free. I'm not sure about that. And the first event, mid-April, is about the theme of the cars is super sweets. So it'll be Saabs and Volvos primarily. And then from there on, there'll be a bunch of other shows. And, of course, racing and track events. And we'll see a lot of nice cars around the countryside for the next 6 or 8 months.
Let's go to Fisker. Fisker is an upstart automotive manufacturer who has been trying to get into the automotive world and is not having a very good time of it. I bring it up because I actually saw a car with the Ocean logo on it on the road recently, and it's the only car I've ever seen with the Ocean logo on it, and I was trying to think what manufacturer was making it, and Jay and I talked about this prior to doing this show, and he brought up the word Fisker, and I said, ah, that makes sense. I was thinking the same thing, and Fisker is in the throes of maybe vanishing from the world of automotive productivity. They've been looking for a backer. They've been on the throes of bankruptcy for some time. Bankruptcy is a horrible word to use, but it's the bluntly correct word at this moment of this show,
Robin,
that
Robin,
Fisker is facing.
Instead of talking about Fisker, which nobody will ever see or most likely ever see.
Okay, that's our opinion. Probably correct.
And it is their second time around. They came out in 2010 or 12 or 13 with a sedan, and that was a flop. But a few days ago, you and I talked about another new manufacturer, and you... I think you said you saw one, the Grenadier.
Yes, I've seen two Grenadiers, unless I saw the same Grenadier in two completely different locations. And I was able to, I was able to get in a parallel lane of the road that I saw the Grenadier on, and was able to be right across from the Grenadier owner at a stoplight, and I had him pull down his window, and I was able to get about 30 seconds worth of discussion there, mainly what did he think of it and did he like it, and the answer was he loved it, and that was about all I got from him. But it was a very nice looking SUV, not unlike the older Land Rovers in style, very square, but fully up to date with all the specs apparently. And it's Jay, you found out that the Mercedes dealerships are the area that are seem to be, or at least one in Danbury that seems to be the location of a Grenadier franchise.
Correct.
Again,
I've done a quick search, but there are
my only thought about these new vehicles is that they have very, very, very limited service facilities available, unlike the standard manufacturers, dealerships that are scattered all throughout our country. So if you get one of these vehicles and you do go on a long trip and you do have a problem, you may be in an area where there isn't much chance to get a quick repair if it were needed. Now, I'm not sure Grenadier would need a quick repair, but a friend of mine recently just purchased a Land Rover, and I forget what the year was. It was 1988, and it was in pristine condition, and he had to get it out of Texas. And I saw him on one day, and on the same day later on, I saw it on a trailer, and it had been picked up. And I thought it was the same person's Land Rover I had seen earlier. And I texted the owner, and sure enough, it was, and he had had a clutch failure. And he had picked the car up not 4 days before I saw him with it. It had been transported from Texas to Connecticut. So this goes to the point of when you buy rarefied vehicles, whether they're brand new and productive like the Grenadier, or whether you buy something like a 1988 Land Rover, four-door, and I can't remember the model.
I think a 2024 Grenadier is going to be more reliable than a 1988.
Absolutely correct.
Land Rover.
So the listeners do not seem to need to worry too much about this particular discussion.
And to be fair, there are a bunch of Grenadier dealers across the country. again, and we know it's kind of a novelty.
Probably on both coasts, Jay, not so much in the middle.
True. But that's where you're going to find them, right? I mean,
California, Miami, New York,
that kind of location
probably has a Grenadier dealer near you.
Yeah, and the Grenadier is based on, if I remember correctly, has a BMW engine and powertrain.
All very reliable.
The interesting story about it was that it is built in a plant in the old Smart factory in France,
I think.
Yes. Grenadier bought that facility, which is kind of a network of little independent or, you know, subcontractors. You know, there's a little plant that manufactures some of the parts, and they're all independent subcontractors. Interesting production model. And hopefully Grenadier takes on.
To our listeners, Grenadier is not an inexpensive vehicle either. So you have to have a very full wallet in your financial department of your life to be able to go buy a Grenadier-type vehicle, and as you do with many of the vehicles that are one-offs or specialized.
A quick safety tip.
Spring driving is here as this show is done. The weather's warming, but you still need to check tires, and you still need to have your windshield washer bottles full of fluid, because with spring and warm weather come bugs, which splat on windshields. And I remember driving to Florida in this same time frame, and you could hit just amazing hordes of bugs on some of the roads in the south as you would get into the warmer climes. And if you didn't have your windshield washer reservoir full, you were really in trouble. Because they would break against the windshield and make it a mess.
All right. I'll tell you all about it next time as I will be driving back from Florida this week.
Okay.
See you all soon.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut. I told that girl that my prospects would be